We open with hymn number 159. Psalm this evening is Psalm 130, found on page 153. Psalm 130. Out of the depths
have I cried unto thee, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice.
Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities,
O Lord, who shall stand?
But there is forgiveness with thee,
that thou mayest be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait.
And in his word do I hope.
My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning.
I say, more than they that watch for the morning.
Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy.
And with him is plenteous redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel
from all his iniquities.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading this evening is found in the second chapter of Hebrews, the 9th through the 18th verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Here ends our first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
We hear now the passion history of our Lord Jesus, the third part, Jesus suffering on the Mount of Olives. And when they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out, as he was accustomed, across the brook Kidron to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And he said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place also, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And Jesus said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, so that you do not fall into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down, fell on his face, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, he said to them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand. But pray, lest you enter into temptation. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, having received a band of soldiers and officers from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, went before them and came with lanterns, torches, with swords, and with clubs. And the betrayer had given them a signal, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, Whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And as soon as he said to them, I am he, they drew back and they fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, Whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. And Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him, and immediately he went up to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, My friend, why have you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus answered and said, Permit even this. And he said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath, for all you who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father? And he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. Shall I not now drink the cup which my Father has given me? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? And he touched his ear and healed him. In that hour, Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and elders who had come out to him, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. And a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth, and he fled from them naked. Here ends the third portion of the Passion History.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn 142. Our lesson this evening is found in the 26th chapter of Matthew, verses 36 through 45. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping still and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, tonight we think on a wound of Jesus that is difficult for us to understand. The wound of apathy. We come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we see the indifference of the disciples, of Jesus' closest disciples, to his agony. So much so that they fell asleep. It's easy to see how their apathy could grieve Jesus, or at least it's easy to think that we know the reason for his grief. But there is an all too common misunderstanding about the rebuke that Jesus makes of the disciples that also applies to the manner in which we think that we are supposed to participate in the sufferings of Jesus as we observe Lent. Jesus said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." When we come into Lent and when we sing the words, "Jesus, I will ponder now on thy holy passion," we are also playing the part of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are to watch. But like the disciples, Peter in particular, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we too become guilty of apathy of the sufferings of our Lord. But what does that really mean? How is it that we are to watch? And how is it that we fail and become indifferent to his sufferings? Here is where we go astray, because it's easy to get the wrong idea about how we should participate in Lent. Should we watch so that we might have sympathy for Jesus? The disciples certainly did not show him much sympathy. He takes Peter, James, and John to the garden, and he tells them flat out, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here. Watch with me." Jesus wanted these three closest disciples with him as he prayed. He even told him that his deep emotional distress was so great that it was the kind of sorrow that would bring a lesser man to the grave. It was deathly sorrow. What could account for such great sorrow? Could the three disciples really sympathize with Jesus? Understand the depths of his distress? They barely understood the office of the Messiah. When Jesus told them that they were going up to Jerusalem and he would be crucified, they thought he was talking in riddles. They barely understood what it meant that Jesus was the Lamb of God as John proclaimed him, Could they sympathize with his suffering? They didn't even understand it. And so when Jesus went away about a stone's throw and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Who could know what that cup contained? When we pray Psalm 19, who can understand his errors? We admit that we don't even know the full extent of our own sins, the sins we should know better than others. And even if we could somehow become painfully aware of every single one of our sins, we are utterly callous and apathetic toward the utter offense that those sins are to a holy God. It is for this reason that we see so many men these days trivializing hell, and so many theologians throughout history have invented endless ways to deny the doctrine of eternal suffering. The thought that a man should spend eternity in constant agony is abhorrent, true enough. And so they find every possible way to get around it. And yet that is only because they and we are so utterly apathetic to the nature of our own sins. We cannot imagine how abhorrent they are to a holy God, and how just he is in considering them so. And that is just the sin of one person. Imagine multiplying it by the entire mass of the human race. And that is the cup that Jesus was to drink. No man can comprehend this cup. No one can sympathize with the passion of Jesus, because none but he has ever borne such grief. No one but Jesus ever took upon himself the sins of the world. No one but Jesus ever faced the dread of the cross, wherein was wrapped up all of God's eternal wrath against sin. How could anyone possibly know how Jesus felt when his soul began to be sorrowful, even to death? But Jesus did not ask his disciples to have sympathy for him. He asked them to watch. Well then, should they watch so that they could be Jesus' support system to feel sorry for him? To shed tears for him? Well, truly, what would such tears do for Jesus? If the disciples could not understand his coming suffering, and if they had no way to sympathize with his grief, of what use would be their pity to Jesus, other than the simple knowledge that Jesus had friends who cared for him? But he already knew this. He even said regarding his disciples, the spirit is willing, though the flesh is weak. He did not tell them to watch so that they would shed tears for him. Well, then what about us? We have an advantage that the disciples on that day did not have. We have hindsight. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have the clear revelation of the Holy Spirit, who in the Word of God shows to us the meaning of all these things that took place. We know why Jesus went up to Jerusalem. We know that the cross was coming, and that he would endure the sufferings of the sins of the world. Surely we are more able than they are to pity our Lord with such knowledge. And yet, are we truly able? You and I are no different than the disciples. We may know what it is that Jesus shall endure in our heads, but we cannot sympathize any better than they could. What about any sorrow for Jesus that we might have? Is that the reason that we participate in Lent? So that our hearts can be broken by watching him suffer so much? Well, truly, they should be broken. This is truly sorrow. But it is the wrong kind of sorrow. And it is not what Jesus asks of his disciples. It is also not what Jesus asks of us. The whole world can look upon the suffering of Jesus and just feel sorry for him. And that is pointless sorrow. But if we cannot sympathize, and our sorrow for Jesus is of no use, then why should we watch? Why is it that Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray, lest they enter into temptation? Because the part that we play in the passion of Jesus is exactly that. We watch. Is there sorrow? Oh, indeed. Sorrow for Jesus? Yes. But far greater is the sorrow over our own sins. For it is we who are at great risk of giving in to temptation. It is we who are weak and cannot endure such grief as we see Jesus endure. It is we who will surely lose all if we care nothing for what takes place before our eyes in the passion of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples to watch, because it is only by watching and believing what they see that they can take place in the passion of Jesus. Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. For the greatest wound that you could possibly give Jesus is the wound that for you he died in vain. He wants you to watch so that you might know the depths of sorrow and suffering into which he descended, that you might have life. And though even though you cannot possibly comprehend them, you will watch, because that is all that you can do, and you will see that he does all these things for you. And he wants you to pray so that you are not offended at what you see. Do not be offended when he reveals to you the depths of your sin, as the agony of his coming suffering causes him to sweat great drops of blood. Do not be offended that he, the Almighty Son of God, would lower himself to such a degree that even the thought of the agony of the cross is enough to bring him down to his face in grief, crying out to the Father's throne that if there could possibly be another way than the cross to let the cup pass. Do not be offended. Only watch. For truly that is the only thing that you can do. The only part that you can play in the suffering of Jesus. Watch and pray. And thank God for the great love which he has given to you in his Son Jesus Christ, that no grief was too great to rescue you from eternal death. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 384.
Thank you.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, thou hast thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All light to light and love Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O blessed Redeemer, we thank thee that thou didst deign to feel our burden, to be made like unto us in all things, and to be tempted even as are we, yet without sin. We thank thee for thy deep humiliation in prayer, whereby thou didst expiate our pride and set us an example of true humility and self-denial. Be with us, we beseech thee, in the hour of temptation, and teach us to pray, that we may overcome the tempter and obtain the victory in thy power through thy suffering and death, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
evening.
Thank you.